Well, not quite, actually. Not quite as dangerous as it turned out to be. We anti-Semitism and hatred existed right through history. But I didn't think it could ever reach such sort of dangerous point. Never, never. You see, I remember in 1938, our caretaker was invited to work as a laborer on the farms in Germany. Of course, it was a double-edged intention. One was to make me to anti-Semites, strongest. Don't forget, there was no love lost between the many Polish people and Jewish people, because there was indifference. And unfortunately, caretaker, I remember, said to me, "When Hitler comes to here," he said, "and he'll come," he said, "he'll chop all your heads off." He was an honest man. If only we could take notice of him.
And a lot of Jews were aware that there was a threat once Poland had been captured and conquered, and yet so many Jewish people stayed with their homes even when it was apparent that there were problems, and didn't try and escape. Why do you think that was?
Because I tell you why. Anti-Semitism was right through Europe. Well, it's Belgium, France, even Holland. I never realized that there's more people having their lives saved by Belgian Christians who risked actually their lives than even Holland. Now, Holland, I know the people were very pro-Jewish, you know, they were very fair people. But nevertheless, Belgium had a higher number of saved Jews.
When did the authorities come for you? Can you remember?
Yes, oh yes, I can remember that very clearly. You see, first of all, the school was closed straight away once they invaded. And initially, of course, I was working for the Nazis, being a trainee tailor. I came in very useful. Nazi uniforms, because they got promotion, you see. So straight away, they didn't worry about that, giving me work to do. Now, and it didn't take very long that my brother was asked to report for labor. He was older than me, 4 years older. And I was, my father rightly predicted, he said, "Mary," said, "you're going to be next pretty soon." Father was a good foreseer. He could see things well ahead. Unfortunately, however pre-knowledge he had, he didn't use it. You see, he kept the family together, you see.
You worked as a slave labourer initially, and of course you ended up in one of the camps.
Yes.
What was the change? Why do you think that they felt that you were no more use to them as a slave labourer, and that they would put you in a camp and then try and exterminate you?
Yes, well, in actual fact, I came to the conclusion afterwards, of course, that the main intention is really to kill us all. But why didn't they kill us on day number one? Why did they wait till their allies were up having the upper hand? The reason being, what I gather, is they wanted to keep a certain amount of slave labor, and because they didn't expect the war was going to turn against them. They didn't think they're going to lose the war. This is something that was the last thing in their mind.
In all those camps, I think there were only two examples of the inmates rebelling and maybe escaping. In all the camps, when there were thousands of people contained in the camps, and only X amount of guards, and yet somehow that revolt only happened that once or twice. Why do you think they managed to keep the lid on you all in so many places for so much of the time?
Because although the general population in the country knew what was happening to the Jewish people, because don't forget, they had to use Christian people for transportation and so on and so on. Why didn't they escape? Well, the common sense told them that if you need laborers, you've got to keep them alive, you've got to feed them somehow. But they never fed us sufficiently to keep alive even. In other words, we were dying from starvation. And we were doing useful work. I was, for example, the first job I was doing when I was in the camp, building railway systems. A boy of 13 and a half, building railway systems.
How did you get through a typical day with hardly any food, very little sleep, in all weathers, with very little protection, and a job of work today? How did you get through 24 hours?
Something fascinates me, and I can't get an answer. Because I did tremendous hard work. Just to give you an example, 3:30 the whistle went to get up. No food. We got artificial tea. And 3:30 we were on your feet. And then, of course, you marched out to work. So in other words, the day was a longer day than it was suggested, because you worked by marching to work already. And worked very hard. And you ask yourself, how can you work on what I received? No butter, no cheese, no nothing with it. And in the evening you got that piece of bread. You couldn't save it for breakfast because somebody would pinch it. I don't blame him.
You were a young man.
Yes.
At an age now where you'd still be going to school, you'd have another 3 years left at school. And yet you saw things in that camp. People being butchered, men, women and children.
50 people being hanged in one go.
How does that affect? Did that affect you as a young person psychologically? Do you think
psychologically, because you had no way of escape? It's psychologically you were a prisoner. You were a total prisoner because from all sides. I remember a non-Jewish boy, approximately my age, said to me, "Why don't you try to escape? You don't look Jewish." He didn't realize that you need papers as well. And not many people were able to achieve that. And so it's possible if I found some very friendly people and they would take a risk in giving me shelter, and I would do anything for the bit of bread to keep alive.
Can you remember the day that you were liberated? What happened on that day?
When I was liberated by the Soviet forces, I was already suffering from typhus, and I was virtually dying. So I was able to survive all through the war, and all of a sudden the typhus is going to kill me. But somehow I didn't want to die. I knew the war was coming to an end. So that gave you a little bit of a glimmer of hope. This is very important, because without hope, you haven't got a chance.